Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back for another episode, another week. We are in a series. This is our second edition of a series called Dark Days. If you haven't heard the first part, I invite you to go back and kind of get your bearings a little bit on what we're going to be talking about. We're diving a little bit deeper this week. Dark Days is a subject about depression. It's a subject about anxiety. It's a subject about mental health and the realities of mental health. And I shared with you a little bit about my story last week. I'm going to go a little deeper today. We're going to focus on what's your compass? What is your compass? In other words, how do you navigate a problem? How do you even identify a problem? I mean, let's face it. You would be staggered to discover just how many people go through life feeling like crap all the time. You would be amazed to discover how people really feel most of their life. People simply adapt to anxiety and depression long before they ever acknowledge them. Did you realize that? I mean, some people actually take on feeling depressed or sad or lonely or hurt, to take on fear, constant elevations of heart rate and sweats and anxiety and panic attacks as just part of their personality. They begin to define themselves by these problems. Now, this is our first clue that the problem goes way deeper than brain chemistry. But if you were part of last week's conversation or discussion, then you realize that I tried to bring out the point that most people only know of one way in which to deal with these kinds of problems, and that is to turn to the mental health professionals that essentially own the space: psychology, psychiatry, medical science, brain science. Now, I'm here to share with you that there is another alternative. Do you know what it is? If you don't, then the first step that we have to do in getting beyond our problems, to move forward, is to actually orient ourselves. You see, we need to find the mall map. If you go back to that illustration I shared last week, and we need to know where we are. Are we next to Cinnabon? Are we next to Nordstrom's? Where are we in this process? Have we acknowledged that we have a problem? Have we realized that a problem is actually growing or incrementally encroaching on our life? Has it got to the place where it interrupts your daily life function in any way? If not, maybe it's very subtle or small. You see, life is way too precious to live in a lost state. So if you navigate solely off of the compass used by our modern world, then you will orient yourself using the DSM-5. Do you know what that is? The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition. So the DSM is the way that you are clinically diagnosed. You're given a label, you're given a tag, you're given an assignment, essentially. And then there's a corresponding therapy that they employ to help you with that particular diagnosis. But once a medical professional has given a diagnosis or a label, you are on that particular path. And I call that path the clinical path or the traditional path. Now, this path is not bad. I am not here to discredit this path. It brings a lot of help. It's certainly well-researched, and it has many solid treatment plans that have helped countless people. So I am an advocate of it. I think there is a profound value to the clinical and the traditional path. I just don't believe that it is the path for everyone. Now, I've learned a lot from the clinical path, the traditional path. I've learned from some of the best in the space as I was trying to understand my own struggle, my own issues with depression and anxiety. So if you're on this path, it is not my intention to get you to change paths, especially if you're taking medications. Do not in any way pull the plug on your own medications. You need to talk to your medical professional if you're going to make changes to your medication. And there's big reasons why, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But it's not my intention to get you to change. You see, there's no way I could possibly know the severity of your own reality. Maybe this isn't a big deal. Maybe it is a big deal. How could I know? You see, I can only speak about this in general sense. And I can speak to it as an experience, as my personal experience. And, you know, these are not certainly typical experiences. And yeah, I am qualifying myself right now. And it's kind of sad that I have to qualify my statements, but let's face it. There are powers out there, people, institutions, who will diminish or harm any alternative perspective, right? And I think you know that. When another idea comes along and it's not the traditional way, people want to diminish it. People don't want to hear about alternative health. Most people who subscribe to the medical world don't want to hear that if you change how you eat, you can change how you live and feel, and many of your own physical problems go away. That seems too simple for many. So how many people do you know that are not thrilled with their outcomes? You see, this is the problem. The traditional path works, certainly, but not for everybody. I mean, a lot of people are in therapy, and they haven't changed. And, you know, the therapist is certainly going to say, well, they haven't applied themselves. There's people who are on medication who the medication may have taken some of the highs and lows out of their experience, but it is by far not a solution that they want to live with. Maybe they don't want to feel numb all the time. Maybe they don't want to feel like they can't feel anything. You see, I've seen medication really help some folks. I've seen it during acute times really relieve the pressure and the feelings and the tension and kind of normalize a person. And I think that's the goal behind it. But I also know that medication completely ruins others. I've talked to people who have begun to get big headaches, terrible weight gain, horrible feelings of just blah all the time. And they don't want to live that way, but they're afraid to go off because they don't know of any other alternative. And what are the options for someone who is skeptical of the clinical path? Maybe you're one of those kind of people, or somebody you love is one of those people who is not going to sit in front of a therapist, yet alone take some drugs to help them feel better in that sense, right? Maybe they're skeptical of psychology. They don't want to have some Bob Newhart experience. And I know I just dated myself. Well, if you're able to receive it, there is another path. Okay, the Greek word for soul is psyche, from which we derive our word psychology. Ironically, the clinical path is governed by psychology and brain science, which focus on brain chemicals and behavior modification, and they both say almost nothing about the soul. These modify our behaviors and experience by manipulating our chemicals. Do you understand that? They believe that if you act a certain way or feel a certain way, it is entirely based upon your brain chemicals. If you change the brain chemicals, you change how you act, you change how you feel, and that is certainly true. It's a philosophy, though, that is based upon externals, on external things. And you can learn more about that in my book, Getting Better When You Can't. I spend a chapter and a half really going into this reality. But it's a philosophy. Don't forget that. You are buying into a philosophy, a faith commitment, a religion even, if you'll accept it, that basically says we are our chemistry. Now, this is true, But it's not all that's true. And that is where the distinction needs to be made. Are we our brain chemistry? Absolutely. Are we only our brain chemistry? Absolutely not. So in order to orient ourselves, we must determine if a problem is in our brain or in our consciousness. You see, the question really is, does the brain produce consciousness? Or does consciousness produce the brain? Now, what if it's both? What if it's both of those solutions? I believe it is. But you see, dualism hurts us here too. Dualism is when you pick sides. Our world, our scientific world especially, loves dualism. Good, bad, right, wrong, hot, cold. If it's this over here on the left-hand side, that it's not this thing on the right-hand side. Information that comes into us has to split and go into one bucket or another. It doesn't do well with both ands. It does very well with either ors. And so we have to get to those hearts of these questions. What do you think is the predominant philosophy? Does our brain produce our consciousness? Or does our consciousness produce our brain? You see, the soul or the psyche is more than a brain, isn't it? A psyche is a soul, and it encompasses non-physical aspects of the whole person. Non-physical aspects of the whole person. Now, let's stop right there. If you're a scientific person and you believe in an empirically based science, that is, we live in an empirical universe, that if you can't see, taste, touch, hear, measure, then it can't be true. So you probably avoid things like myth. You probably are skeptical of religion. You probably think that certain things cannot exist because they're not empirically provable. And that is a predominant thread in the world of psychology and brain science. But you would be mistaken to conclude that all of reality is empirically based. Because if you do, there is no such thing as consciousness. Of course, we all know that it exists. We all know what consciousness is. We can describe it. We can talk about it. We can change it, alter it, grow it. We can see the effects of it. But guess what? You cannot put a tape measure around it. You can't put it in a scale and weigh it. You can't empirically measure consciousness. And yet, it's a reality. And so our world must be made up of physical things and non-physical things. And that's the truth. Our world is not solely a physical place. It contains non-physical reality. Now, science and brain science does not concern itself with non-physical reality. And when it does so in a tangential way when it talks about consciousness. But you see, they think consciousness is simply a byproduct of brain chemicals. So if you change the brain chemicals, you change the consciousness. And guess what? That is true. But neuroplasticity has another story. It's telling us that our brain rewires itself according to other things. It rewires itself based upon how we think, patterns that we put in it. And therefore, that also is true, that our consciousness produces our brain. And so can you see that these two questions create a watershed? But one side of, if you're standing at the peak of a roof and you could go either down the front yard or the backyard based on where you slide. One slide is to the brain science that says the brain produces your consciousness. And if that's the case, then your whole therapy can only be based upon changing the chemicals, and that you are your chemicals. And so you put the right chemicals in and you get the right life out. But the other side says, you are more than that. You are a psuche, a soul. And your soul has a body, which has a brain, which has chemicals. But your soul is a consciousness. And it changes your brain. It reorders it. And therefore, if you have a problem, it might be that you have been thinking about it in the wrong way and you've created neuropathways that are diminishing your brain's chemistry. And if that's the case, if that's true, then you can think differently, learn new ways to think, and reorder and reprocess how your brain actually functions. That's the goal of much of therapy. And I think behind brain science, they wouldn't deny that either. But that's what soul work actually does. And that's what happened to me. That's how I have made changes, by incrementally learning how to change how I think, not so much what I think. You see, the soul, like I said, the psuche is more than a brain. It encompasses a non-physical aspects of the whole person. And I will prove that the non-physical, the spiritual realities are impacting our physical well-being way more than we think. You see, word always becomes flesh. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.